Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's time for another edition of the Neil and Larry Show, dedicated to the promotion of self-sufficiency in architecture, community, and the individual. In today's program, very special edition, we're coming to you from the Custom House Plaza in Monterey, where it is the 37th annual Monterey Wine Festival. So let's go ahead and bring on our guest, our host for the show, Neil Cruz and Larry Weingarten. Neil?
Larry, take it away.
Okay. Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Larry Show. Today we have a Dr. Chongqi Tan. He's one of the founders of the rapidly growing Bay Bucks community currencies. He'll join and update us on the progress of one of the most successful new currency movements on the West Coast. Neil and Larry have already signed on as members and hope many of our listeners will consider it also. Go to www.baybucks.com for more information. It's money designed for a new economy. We're going to give the floor to our guest in hopes of getting out the word about this new currency in the state of California.
Yep. And news, Larry?
Yeah.
One of the first things that we wanted to mention is that there was a man by the name of Langdon Robert, and he's the guy who got me interested or turned on to Bay Bucks. And he's in Santa Cruz, and I thought he had his own currency, but he said no. He said, I'm working with Bay Bucks. So he said, if you want to get on board, let's go to baybucks.com. And he recently sent out an email. Bay Bucks has had a huge surge in activity over the past few weeks. The time for an alternative economy is now. If you haven't signed up yet, please go to baybucks.com and get started using your goods and services to pay for what you need. So that's good news to hear. So Langdon is supporting us. And, you know, we've got our goal today is to bring Bay Bucks to the Monterey Bay area. We don't want to be the last ones on board.
Yeah, I mean, if we're signed up, we better get a lot of other people to do Bay Bucking with.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
And that's the point.
Okay. A little more news. There's a website that gives the top seven eco-friendly apps. And I'm just going to read a few of them, you know, not all seven. There's one called Paper Karma. Instead of having an endless supply of junk paper mail continually arriving in the mailbox, this app allows you to prevent that. Oh, by the way, the apps I'm talking about are all free. Here's another
free.
One called iViro, iViro. This app helps users create a more sustainable homes and living spaces. Actually does a customized energy analysis through this app that gives you a detailed overview of the home's thermostat, electricity, water, and appliance energy consumption. Also free. Another one called the Dirty Dozen. This app tells you about what the various harmful pesticides are on contaminated produce. It highlights 12 types of produce most likely to be contaminated. You know, and that's just three out of the seven. If you go to the website, www.cleantechies, that's cleantechies.com, and look up the top seven eco-friendly apps.
And you'll have all of these links in our show notes, won't you, Larry?
Of course I will.
Great. In a couple of days, they'll be there, so you don't have to worry. And I picked up an article, thanks to Chong, on the Bay Bucks currency. Can alternative local currency Bay Bucks reinvent money in Oakland? This is from Liza Veal, May 22nd. On Saturday, May 3rd, the 25th Street Collective, and this is in Oakland, hosted an arts and music bazaar featuring local artisans and entertainment. Almost no U.S. legal tender cash money traded hands. The whole thing went down using Bay Bucks. So if you know anything about our debt-based, private, bank-owned monetary system that is currently running the world, I might add, or just have a healthy, unsubstantiated distaste for money deep in your stomach, you know that our country's money is created on a for-profit basis. The whole business of money-making is itself a money-making business. As Bay Bucks co-founder Chongqi Tang explained, banks loan us money that doesn't actually exist, and we pay them interest and compound interest back. The whole system creates so much debt for individuals, businesses, and governments that it has all of us working furiously to grow the economy faster than the pace of growing interest. just so we can stave off the collapse of foreclosure until next year.
Now,
so
Neil,
that in a nutshell explains what's happening with this economy, by the way.
But that's curious, because I've always heard the economy has to grow to survive or it's going to fail. But this gives me a reason why that mentality is
exactly.
in place.
Yes, you always hear that. We just have to keep growing or we're in trouble.
Yeah.
And the aim, another paragraph here, the aim of complementary local currencies is to allow an insulated portion of the economy to operate outside of the problematic universal system. Baybucks allows people to trade their goods and services using an agreed-upon credit system. Currency is backed by whatever product or service the Baybucks member provides, and the value of that product or service is the same as whatever price the member charges in dollars. John Key Tang doesn't mince his words. There isn't enough money in the whole economy to pay off the debt that's owed. He said banks only create the principal amount of money, not interest. So it becomes a game of musical chairs where somebody is going to be foreclosed. And you can find this article on liveworkoakland.com.
I should mention there's a website. You might have heard of it, www.neilandlarry.com.
I've heard of that.
You have?
I've heard of that,
good.
Yeah.
Good. This is good. I'm glad.
Just wondering, is that website N-E-I-L or N-E-A-L?
Oh, N-E-A-L. Thank you.
We don't
want to get the wrong Neil.
It's a tricky website.
Yeah, N-E-A-L and Larry.com.
Yeah.
NeilandLarry.com that way.
Yes.
Yeah, all spelled out.
And there's another tricky website called LarryWeingarten.com. And Weingarten is W-E-I-N-G-A-R-T-E-N.
Oh, I thought you were changing it this weekend to W-I-N-E. since we're coming from the Monterey Wine Festival.
The Wine Garden.
My last name is Vineyard. Yes.
Okay. And you want to go to that website for all kinds of resources on self-sufficiency, videos, books, articles, tremendous number of resources there. And without further ado, we want to get to our guest. And I'm going to introduce him here a little bit. Dr. Chong Key Tan, co-founder Picture Chong Key Tan, has been an activist for 20 years working in the area of Asian democracy, press freedom, censorship, and after coming to the United States, in the area of equal rights and sustainability. Yay! After the 2008 financial crisis, he began studying our financial and monetary systems and quickly came to realize that these systems are the root causes of the most pressing problems facing the world today. He started Baybucks as a transition San Francisco project in hopes of reversing the rising trends of inequality and making the San Francisco Bay Area more resilient. Dr. Chong Key Tan, are you on? Are you there? I don't hear him.
Are we plugged in? Yep. Okay.
Is his volume up?
Yep, it is. Hi.
There you are.
Go.
we
many, many buttons.
Hi, Chong. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Larry. And you?
That's a trick that we pull on our guests. We ask them if they're on the line, and then they discover they can't communicate to us.
Thank you.
How are you today, Chong?
Very good, thanks.
Larry and I have had the pleasure of actually meeting with Chong. He came down to the Carmel area. We had signed up, and so he educated us as to how the system is to be used. That's the one thing I want to say. You are not going to be without human help on this system. Chong is there to check what you're doing when you sign up and to help you all the way through. So the service is just terrific. The only thing I don't understand, Chong, is how do you do this with all these people that you have signed up? You have over 200 people signed up now?
Yes, we do. We have a team of folks. So we have three of us right now who are helping people. So I'm one of them, but my co-founder, Kendra Shanley, is the other. And we have Zach Stevens as well, who's been working with us for quite a while now. And we are supposed to bring in more folks because we want you guys to join. The more help we need to make sure that all of you have a good experience.
Oh, that's wonderful. Is it starting to get busy?
Yes, it's starting to get very busy. My days are completely filled and I barely have enough time to think nowadays.
Well, that's really good news, isn't it?
Having no time to think?
Yes, definitely. That's why we really need help. Yeah, we'll bring two more so that I could actually have some time to talk to people like you. instead of just running around and trying to, you know, get everything going well.
When did you start?
We launched it in January of 2013 properly. Although actually we soft launched it in 2012 at Bioneers, November 2012 in Bioneers. And then based on feedback, we went back and we designed a few things and launched it properly January of 2013.
Okay, so it's been, let's see, a year and a half?
About a year and a half, yes.
About a year and a half? Mm-hmm. And I read in one of your interviews, you said the first 50 people were a real job to get signed up.
That's right, because when we started, we had no one in our system, and we had to go around approaching various, you know, local businesses and saying, wouldn't it be great if we do this and everyone help each other so that we are less affected by downturns. But they all say it's a great idea, I'll join if you have this and this and that in the system, or I'll join when you have 100 people in the system.
Yeah.
So it has been a very much chicken and egg thing for the first 6 months.
Yeah.
But we found, you know, our founding members, who are people who really believe in us, and say, oh, I'll join, and I understand that you can't start unless someone is willing to come on, so we'll come on, and we'll wait until there's enough other businesses on there to make it useful. So
yes.
We appreciate them very much, and we call these people our founding members.
Yes. And can you tell us overall what this currency is, Chong, and why you did it?
Sure. This is something called a mutual credit system. It is based on something that was invented in Switzerland during the last Great Depression in the 1930s. It is called the Swiss Lire, spelled W-I-R. Now, during that time, you know, the Swiss were in a lot of hardship, just like we are now. And instead of just letting all the businesses die and creating lots of unemployment as a result, they decided that they will create their own money, replace the Swiss franc that was disappearing, that wasn't enough. And so they invented this thing called VIA, which is based on a mutual credit system. What happens is each member is able to create the money they need for transaction. They don't need to go and try to borrow it from the bank, who are not lending. They can simply create it themselves. So it becomes a way of enabling barter between each different members, and doesn't require cash, doesn't require Swiss franc. So the economy in Switzerland starts to move again, because the people who needed food could now buy food, people who needed clothes and shelter could all do all these things. And this system has been operational in Switzerland since then until today, for more than 80 years. And the last figure I could find online is that the annual turnover is in excess of $6.5. And economists have credited that system as the secret of why the Swiss economy is so much more resilient than other economies around the world. And so what we've done is we study this example and we are replicating it here in the Bay Area.
Is it being done anywhere else, Chong, besides Switzerland and here?
Yes, actually it's been done in many other places in Europe as well as in the U.S. Because this firm that the Swiss has pioneered became kind of standardized as something called a barter exchange. And there are actually a whole barter exchange industry globally right now. And so we know them very well. We're actually in a network with them, and we trade with each other too. So this is, but about Baybox that's slightly different is most of these other exchanges are commercial in basis. So they will accept large multinational corporations to trade, and they have the interest, positive interest on their currency. Whereas for us, because we have also a social mission, so we limit our membership to only locally owned businesses, and we operate a zero interest policy.
Okay, you said that you have a social mission and that you work with locally owned businesses? Now, where is Bay Bucks being distributed at this time? Your center is the San Francisco Bay Area right now, Chong?
That's correct. Although we have also a lot of members in the Oakland area, as well as in Santa Cruz.
And Santa Cruz.
And recently, too, the membership in Santa Rosa is picking up.
In Santa Rosa.
The Exchange of Santa Rosa is representing us there.
Good.
To grow that big bucks there.
And your goal is to go statewide or further?
We want to create a sustainable bioregion here in the Bay Area, because our model is that we want to create a currency that will make a local economy self-sustaining. And we kind of identify that about 100 miles radius from San Francisco, which will include the North Bay, which has a lot of the agriculture, and the San Francisco area, which has, and Berkeley area, which has more culture, and then of course the South Bay, which has a lot of the manufacturing. And so we want to basically create this local region, a bio-sustainable region here in the Bay Area that is tied together with a regional currency. But we don't want to go statewide and national by simply growing our membership that way. Rather, once we prove this model successful, we can replicate other regional currencies in the southern part of California and other states. Now, these different currencies then will mainly be trading among themselves. But we can also have an exchange of exchanges above that, so that if there are things that are not available within our bioregion, it is possible to still get it from somewhere else. But the most of the exchanges will be within.
Right. I've got a question. For people that are signing up, is there any risk to this at all? Tax implications? Are there any potential downsides? And if so, how are they dealt with?
The biggest downside is what I would call a free rider problem. Because we allow each member to create the Bay Bucks they need to get the things they need for their business, it is conceivable that a member might come in and say, I will create 5,000 to spend it and get all the stuff I want. And then when someone else needs their service or their goods, they will say, oh, sorry, it's not available. Sorry, I'm too busy. So that's a free rider problem. People come in and take from the community but do not give back in equal measure. The way we deal with it is that we get every member who signs up has to have a credit card on file. And of course, in our terms of service, we also make it very clear. If your account is in the negative, you have spent all these Bay Bucks, and then you refuse service to people who need it from you, then all the money you owe in Bay Bucks becomes due and payable in cash. And we simply charge your credit card immediately, and then we will kick you out of the system because we don't want free riders.
Hopefully you haven't had to kick too many people out yet.
Oh, we have not kicked anyone out so
good.
Far. Because the reason is that when we tell people about it, we make it very clear this is a platform for local businesses to help each other, to collaborate with each other. And if you have developed a bad reputation within it, no one will want to work with you. No one will want to trade with you.
Yeah.
So right. It is in their interest to maintain a good reputation. And so for everyone understands the rules and no one has behaved badly.
So there's a community feedback aspect of this, so you know who's good to deal with and who isn't so good to deal with.
That's right. Because all of us who are running Bay Bucks are in constant contact with our members, we hear things happening constantly. And they'll come to us too if they try to get something from a member and they saw that they were unreasonably denied. They'll come and tell us, could you please help us deal with that?
Ah, okay, so the human element is really present. Now, this is all done through a website, baybucks.com, and Larry and I both signed up. I spent more time on your website the other day to learn it more, but just for the listeners, when Chong interviewed me about signing on a Bay Bucks, he said, Neil, we have to figure out how much credit to assign you. And so immediately, Chong gave me credit so that I could immediately make purchases on the Bay Bucks system. Didn't have to wait at all. I can do it right now. Now, Chong, how do you assign credit to an individual that signs up?
We use two numbers to determine a credit. The first number is cap. The cap basically indicates how big your business is and so how much credit you are able to use safely and able to pay back. And that number is basically about 10% of the average of your last 3 months' gross sale. It is not a number in stone, but we use that as a guide. And then the second number is the actual amount of your credit limit, and that is determined by how much you want to give back and receive from the community. Because when you have a credit and you spend it down, you're basically taking, receiving from the community. So you need to also give back of equal amount. So let's say you want to spend 1,000 Bay Bucks in the community. Therefore, you will also need to commit to accept 1,000 Bay Bucks from other people in the network in exchange for your goods and services. So once we understand that, we can determine the credit line that you can have.
Okay. And then I can go onto the website and look at my account at any time, and I can see what my balance is. And so so I have a credit line now, and I can go ahead and buy services on the Bay Bucks system. And likewise, somebody can find me in the directory. And we listed, on my side, I listed four different services. And one of the services we wanted to offer to our listeners is the possibility of sponsoring our show using Bay Bucks. And Chong, maybe you can help us out here, but we want to begin to get people to sign up using Bay Bucks in this area. And one of our ideas that was that by offering sponsorships on Bay Bucks, we might encourage people to sign up. In other words, they can sign up on Bay Bucks. And listen, everybody, you can do that right now. You can do that while you're listening to us. You don't have to wait. You know, it's very simple. It's very interesting to do. You can find us on there. So, Chong, what we were thinking is that by saying, hey, we are now members of Bay Bucks, we are hoping that other people will sign on in, to Bay Bucks in our area to begin to do business with us.
That's a wonderful idea. Yeah. You can simply go to baybucks.com and click on sign up button. And it takes only half a minute to fill out the sign up form. And soon after that, you get a call from either myself or another member of our team to help you get started on Bay Bucks.
Okay.
Yeah, and after that, you can donate to Neil's show, help him continue producing great programs.
And you, when you were helping me sign up, you said there's two things we need to know, basically, Neil. What services can you offer, and what services do you need?
That's and right. It was more than services, too. Anything at all. It could be good, hard goods.
Products?
Food, all these are available.
Food?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yep. All kinds of stuff.
So just about anything?
Yeah, just about anything, except insurance and mortgage. And the two things we can't do yet. So sorry. But other than that, you know, we have things like, organic beef. We have organic chocolate, teas, and coffees. And we have things like, you know, marketing help, business coach, medical doctor, chiropractor, architect, interior designer, contractor. Yeah, just about anything you can imagine.
Accountants? Yeah. I was looking through the list.
It's
a huge spread. Yeah. About how many transactions are you making a day right now, Chong? Is there a way to estimate that?
I can look at the report. Yeah, I would say we are, right now, each month we have maybe about 20 to 30 transactions.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So far we have more than 6,000, I think, transactions going.
Wow.
Most
okay.
Recently, that's when we kind of crossed over 100 members, and that's where it became useful when people started to transact with each other.
And we can also, what was I trying to think of? A way to do this. We can also email each other through the website. There's a messaging system. So let's say that I saw somebody in San Francisco and I needed some website work. I could send him an email message before I make a transaction, right?
Correct.
And I could talk to him and say, hey, what do you, you know, I'm very interested in buying your services using Bay Bucks. What do you do? How do you do it? And then we could talk via that messaging system so to where I'm comfortable. In other words, people don't have to just take a chance. Well, I'll hope that this is a good person, you know, and I'll just buy their services.
You always want to interview your contractor, accountant, whatever, first.
Sure. Find out who you want to work with.
Yeah, your bank.
And Coach also, all our members are encouraged to list as many weapons as possible, including their email, their phone number, and so on. Many ways of contacting each other.
Yeah.
Okay.
Another way I see that this can be used is, you know, since we're sort of in hard times these days, although you wouldn't know from reading the press, they said today that our jobs are back up to the peak level. I just almost died laughing when I read that. But anyway, the point being, there's more and more people, Chong, that are finding themselves at home without work, without opportunity, and they just don't know what to do. You know, so they maybe they play computer games or they do something so they don't get depressed. What we want people to know is you don't need money to start this. These are things that you can do in your free time. Get on the internet, study them, figure it out, because you can start doing transactions and start doing business without having any money. You know, so that's the beauty of this, isn't it, Chong? It gives people an alternative.
That's right. Yeah, we encourage people now to really start up on your own business and use BayBucks as a way of launching their new business. You know, find something that the community needs, but there isn't enough of. I offer that on BayBucks, and because people are using you in BayBucks and they've decided that you are great, you know, a great service, they start talking about you and you start bringing you new businesses. And very soon you even have cash paying business as well. So they can use the cash to pay your mortgage and, you know, prevent your foreclosure.
Right.
And in this way, yeah, you get started without any money by leveraging the help from your community.
And I'd add that there may be people that don't think they have anything for sale, but say you're an older retired person, maybe you could tutor some young, you know, if you don't have a physical thing, it's probably in your head something that other people would like to learn.
You know, that's, Larry, that is an excellent point. All kinds of things that people have as a talent or an ability that in the regular monetary system does not have a value. They're not going to get a job. Nobody's going to pay them for it. But in BayBucks, that can begin to happen.
Right.
And just what you said, maybe it's an older person listening right now who's retired, who's just really good at something, and he can offer those services through BayBucks.
Yeah.
And so now, you know, in other words, essentially what he's doing. Now, Chong, you refer to it as a neutral credit system?
Oh, it's a zero interest credit system. Or a mutual, yes, a mutual.
Neutral.
M-U-T-U-A-L, a mutual credit system.
Uh-huh.
That just means that in this system, everyone starts off with a zero balance in your account.
Uh-huh.
And the way you create money is by simply spending down into minus. Your account becomes minus when you spend BayBucks, create BayBucks and spend it. And someone else will receive a BayBucks and the account will go positive.
Yes.
Right, by the same amount. And at all times, all the accounts will sum up to zero. So in a way, you can think about it is instead of going to the bank to get credit in order to be able to use money, we are now all giving each other credit. So we're helping each other instead, and we bypass the bank.
And this is similar then to what is called a credit clearing system?
It could be. Another name that gets used more commonly is called a LET, a local exchange trading system.
Yes, LETS.
LETS, that's exactly the same concept.
Oh, it is?
In fact, yeah, it is. And in fact, time banks also are pretty much based on the same thing. The only difference is for time bank, they use our as the basis of measurement.
Yes.
Value.
Yes.
Whereas we use price.
Yes. Okay, and we have Time Bank already operating in the Monterey area, Our bank,
yeah.
It's called.
Uh-huh.
And in terms of how do you get paid, Chong?
We get paid when there's a successful transaction and we have a transaction fee.
Okay,
that's how we get paid.
So when there is a transaction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and how
we set it up that way deliberately. So that all our values are aligned, our interests are aligned. So we have to help each of our members succeed. We have to help them find things they want. We have to help them sell their services. Only then do we get paid.
Okay. And so that allows you to function, because otherwise, if you're not getting paid and you all have to do this without any compensation, eventually you're going to run out of help.
And this is what I understand is a problem, or has been a problem with the LETS system, is that the staff just wears out because they're doing it for free. And it works, and everybody's having a good time, and then they say, I can't do this the rest of my life. You know, I've got to make a living. So you put this on solid ground. This is going to allow you to function and to go forward with the system and be paid for what you're doing here.
That's correct. Yeah. And we designed it that way in the very beginning because we have seen many fail. And so we asked ourselves, how can we create something that is sustainable?
And the way you set it up by essentially extending credit to someone when they sign up means there really isn't any risk from that point of view for people that sign up.
That's right.
I mean, There's no joining fee. There's not no monthly fee right now.
Yeah.
So the only risk is you come on and then you don't use it, and then you say it doesn't work. Or it's a waste of my time. That's not the only risk you have. But I have to say this, we are very close to 200 members right now, and our plan is that once we hit 200 members, there will be a joining fee of $100 payable either in U.S. dollars or in Bay Bucks.
Okay. That'll be a fee to join?
Yeah, once we hit 200, we're pretty close now. So there's a great week of this program. We can actually offer to all your listeners as a little final window to quick get in before there's a joining fee.
Whoever's out there hearing us, get on to Bay Bucks and sign up before there's any joining fee.
You heard it, folks. It's getting very close to 200. I'll tell you what. If enough of you sign up, we'll get over 200 today, and then we'll. So let's everybody.
Then we can have a party.
We can have a party. Let's everybody sign up today in the Monterey area. Okay, Monterey, Salinas.
Carmel.
Come on, let's get going. You're going to do it free for now. Is there a possibility you'll go over 200 today, Chong? By any chance?
I don't know. We'll see. In fact, I'll say this then. For anyone who signs up in the Monterey area today, they'll get in even though we hit above 200.
I know I have
coming today.
I know that we're going to have people in the Bay. Well, how about if they say they heard it on the Neil and Larry show? Because we've got people I know all over the Bay Area too. Anyway, just causing grief.
Sure, I'll do that for you, Neil.
Great.
Oh, thank you, Chong.
We heard it about Neil and Larry show. They're getting free even if we get cost to edit.
Larry likes it.
Good. Okay, so everybody, you heard it. You know, today is the day. Don't waste time. Get going now. Chong, another thing that you talked to Larry and I about, you talked about how this is really good for excess inventory in businesses that otherwise doesn't get exposed to the market. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's the basic problem we're trying to solve. Like when in a downturn, people still eat, right? And we still need all the goods and services to keep us going. But we cut down on it because we don't have the money. As a result, the local businesses will have more and more excess inventory because the demand from population has gone down. And that causes a downward spiral because then they don't have enough cash flow to pay their employee. They'll start firing the employee. So then when more people lose jobs, there will be even less money in the system and less demand for the goods and services. And it just goes down and down. So what we're trying to do is to come in and say, look, you still need to eat. You still need all these things. The only reason you're going hungry and going without is because there's no more money. The banks have taken it all. So we allow you to create that money. So now, based on your excess inventory, let's say I'm a restaurant, so now I have so many empty tables, I will use a Bay Bucks to start advertising and telling people, look, we are still here, we're still great. Come to us. Then, as more people come to your restaurant, pay you in Bay Bucks instead of cash, because that's the only reason they can afford it. You advertise and say, hey, well, we accept Bay Bucks, come. So they'll come and they'll pay you in Bay Bucks. And you, in turn, take the Bay Bucks to pay for the advertisement you have just did. And that way, everything starts moving again. And people are exchanging things. People are not getting their needs met without having to resort to cash.
So Bay Bucks could actually be a form of advertising, couldn't it? In other words, you're exposing yourself to the Bay Bucks market.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So it's going to bring in more.
It is a form of advertising. And even without, because some of our local media. For example, East Bay Express is our member, and you can advertise to them and say, you know, we are Baybucks member, come and you can pay in Baybucks, and you can get more business that way too.
Huh. Okay,
yeah.
So
yeah.
Now, with some of these currency systems, Chong, we have seen in the past where they pay partly in the alternative or the complementary currency, I think is the correct term, partly in the complementary currency and partly in dollars. But with Baybucks, you pay all in Baybucks. Is that correct?
That's correct.
It's not a mix. It's just all. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a rationale behind that, which is this. We say 100% paying Baybucks so that is really useful for every member because it doesn't involve them having to pay cash. Now, sometimes in some other system, they'll allow a member to charge, let's say, 20% in cash because they argue that I have a certain cash cost, you know. But if we start having that here, what usually happens, and from experience I've talked to people who have done that, is it goes downhill. Because another member will say, I'd like to charge 30% because my cost is 30, some of my cost is 50. And unless you are willing to audit every member to make sure that they're telling the truth, very soon you just have a spiraling percentage in cash requirement, and the currency itself become less and less useful. And people have to pay up to 50 or 60% in cash. I mean, they just feel like this is not useful anymore. You can no longer say that, you know, by using this, we help you resolve the problem of having no money.
Yes. I just want to say I have been reading about complementary currencies for a very long time. It's fascinating to me. And Chong, the thing that became clear to me is that this is extremely complicated. And you know what you're talking about right now is you have to understand the psychology of these systems to make them work, don't you?
That's right.
You had, who were the people that helped you? Who were the people that you talked to put together this system?
Quite a few. I want to acknowledge Thomas Raker because when I first researched into this topic, I contacted him, and he had been very generous with his time and helped me think through many issues. And other people I've spoken with, including Bernard Later, and these are the two biggest mentors. And other people are those who are working in the barter exchange industry. They have been very generous with their time too. So I go to the annual meeting put up by IRTA, International Reciprocal Trade Association, and people who exchange, barter exchange owner, commercial barter exchange owner, and they have been very generous in sharing their experience and telling me what had worked and what had not worked. So based on all that, I was able to design something that makes commercial sense, that I know will be a commercial success because they're modeled there. At the same time, tweak it with the advice of, you know, people like Thomas Greco to something that also fulfill a social mission.
You know, Chong, it occurs to me that you have a product to sell. You just have to make it. This would be a book on how to start a local currency.
Yes. At some point, I'm planning to write that book.
You've done all this homework, and it sure would be good to get it written down somehow, or either book form or video form or some combination, because that would help people in a very big way in other areas.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Other areas.
Great idea. Once we hit 2,000, because that is my current goal right now, to make this release a success, and then I'll have credibility to have it come out and people will read it.
Yes.
So that's our first goal, is to really demonstrate the viability and the success of this of Baybucks.
Yeah.
And so as it is right now, people can sign up on Baybucks, talk to us about sponsoring them. We can sponsor this show, and we can do all of that in Baybucks. In addition, Larry and I have services. We've mentioned to everybody that we do site analysis for self-sufficiency. We go onto your property. We take a look at all aspects of energy, water, of soil, everything, and give you an analysis of your property in terms of the best resources for you in terms of achieving self-sufficiency in that property.
It just occurred to me that Carol Vanolia, the architect that we talked to, does similar sorts of things, but with a very different set of eyes. Where does the sun come and go from? What's the wind?
Yeah.
How can you make sort of outdoor living spaces or combine them?
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a service that we're offering through Bay Bucks now. So you can see that this gets really interesting. But is there anything that is not available on Bay Bucks or won't be after you reach 2,000 or you get that number that you want, Chong?
The thing is that part of the network means that the more people joined, the more powerful it is. So the more people will join, and so less and less things will be out of bounds. The hardest thing to do in Bay Bucks, I would say, is real estate. Because, number one, it costs a lot of money. And number two, generally involves getting a bank mortgage. And bank, of course, would not deal with local currency. So, but I can tell you, I'm also working on various ways, actually, to enable people to even do real estate in Bay Bucks.
I wonder if
there's still about... So still about 2-3 years down the line, but we're already designing the sketching out the framework to make this happen.
I wonder if there's any way to merge crowdfunding with an alternate currency, complementary currency.
Yes, there is. In fact, I shouldn't say too much because it's still in the works, but one way is actually to crowdfund into a land trust to hold, and then it becomes available for people within the community to use. And being able to integrate local currency into it. Yeah, there are many ways of doing it. Other ways. So we're actually doing a lot of work right now in this respect.
Oh, excellent.
Wow. So one potential problem that comes to mind is that as people decide or want to use more and more, the operating capital, if you will, they need becomes higher. Is it possible to extend someone's credit if they're active and find they're just running out too often?
Yes.
Okay.
The credit line is really based on the size of your business. So as your business needs go up, so does your credit.
Good.
But what I really like about this, John, the more I think about it, is the personal element. Just the way when Larry and I signed up, you guys are right there. And so it gives you that feeling that there's human beings who really understand how this works, and they're watching, and they're being careful, and they're going to make sure that somebody doesn't go off the deep end with this. And I think you kind of have to have that, don't you? In other words, I'm saying that there's a human element required to make this work.
Absolutely, yeah. And in the early days, it would be us, the founders, who is the one making sure that the culture is maintained and people understand rules and all that. And what I hope is that as we grow, the early user now completely understands and acculturated to our ethos, right? The collaboration and the mutual help ethos. They can help the new members.
Yes.
And so in this way, you can also grow organically.
What's going to happen right now, Chong? I'm concerned about the economy. I tend to keep track of things like this, and I'm more concerned probably than I have ever been. I'm seeing inflation right now. Talking to my buds in the restaurant business in Carmel, they say they definitely are seeing inflation in food. I understand that gas is going up, and some people are saying that's not the price of gas. That's the weakness in the dollar that you're seeing, and we're over $4 a gallon. What's going to happen as inflation gets worse and worse to your currency, and how can your currency help in that situation?
That is a very sensitive question because it involves the IRS. But I'll say this. Right now, we have to peg a buck to the dollar because of IRS tax. Because IRS tax is based on Bay Bucks income as if it is cash income. Now, if there is runaway inflation, there's no reason why within a local currency mutual credit system we can unpeg, meaning that we'll keep the prices within our system the same as before, so that no one within our system will feel they have lost out to rising prices. So that is definitely a possibility. And I foresee that happen if we only during a crisis. Because we don't want to unpack too early, that would trigger the inquiry from IRS that we are not paying our fair share in tax. So we don't want to do that. But as and when the U.S. dollar really starts facing, hyperinflation and the economy is obviously not working, that would be the point when we can say, look, this is when a local currency really comes into play, and we can stabilize prices, and we can prevent a lot of hardship by unpegging the U.S. dollar.
Wow.
So my answer is yes, it is possible to do, but we will not do it unless it's a very clear necessity to do so.
Okay, but that's an amazing ability. I mean, we were talking on a show, I think it was two shows ago, about the Weimar Republic and runaway inflation. A lot of people know about this. They remember the pictures with wheelbarrows full of cash, you know, to go in and buy a loaf of bread. So if that happens, you don't have to go there with this currency. You can disconnect from the dollar. Is that what you're saying, John?
Yes, when it becomes necessary.
When it becomes necessary.
When it becomes necessary, we can do that.
So
that's something I will use very judiciously, because right now, IRS, of course, is taxing everything, and we don't want to trigger any concern on their end.
Right. So it has to be done very carefully, strategically. But it is still an option that you have. In essence, would you say that your currency is going to be more stable than the dollar as we head into uncertain times here? Because you have that flexibility?
That one's easy to answer. This currency is based on people. It's not based on some fictitious something somewhere else. Of course it's going to be more stable. Now let's see what the expert says.
Well, that was actually my answer, too. It's as stable as the people using it. And so as long as we can keep the culture alive in the system and everyone is coming in understanding that it's a mutual help, and not someone trying to free ride. You have too many people coming in trying to free ride, then it destroys it. And that's why we keep a very close eye on anyone who tried to do that.
Yes.
Good.
Chong, here's a pet study of mine, and it's interest-bearing money, sometimes referred to as usury. Can you talk about that a little bit and why it doesn't work? I mean, isn't all of our money today based on interest-bearing money? Isn't the entire world economy? You know, you read about the IMF, and they make a loan to a country, and then that country has to pay the money back, and if nothing else, all they can do is pay the interest on the money loaned to them. And then what happens is the IMF says, okay, well, if you can't take us back, we'll take your water, we'll take your oil, we'll take your trees, we'll take your resources. Can you shed some light on interest-bearing money?
Yes, I can. In fact, usury is a very interesting word. It now simply means charging too high an interest, or a modern sense. But in the traditional sense, it's actually charging any interest at all is usury. And I think our attitude towards interest has changed because what we use as money has changed over time. It used to be that we used things like wheat or beer or perishable goods, you know, cacao beans, as money. But now we have changed into using non-perishable things like metals, gold, silver, copper, and so on as money. That might seem like a very trivial change. You might even seem like an improvement to some because now your money don't rot away. But the implication is huge. Imagine if we were using, let's say, wheat as money. Now, after harvest, if I have all these wheat, I can choose to do three things. I can eat it, I can store it, or I can plant it in the ground to produce more. If I choose to store it, the value of my wheat would degrade over time because the mice will get to it, mole will get to it, it might be stolen by someone. And so the wheat, if I want to hold on to it, one bushel that I have this year will be less than a bushel next year. It may be only, you know, 3/4 of a bushel.
Yes.
Under such a circumstance, if you come to me and say, can I borrow a bushel of wheat so I can plant it in the ground and harvest it next year, and I'll pay you back the same bushel, I'll be very happy. Because I know that if I don't, I will only have 3/4 of a bushel next year. So I'd rather store my bushel with you because I'm making productive use of it, and you can pay me a full bushel back. So under that kind of money regime, we have no interest. That's why in olden days, people thought charging interest is evil. If you think about it, after borrowing, when you borrow my bushel and you do all the hard work of planting, tilling the ground, watering it, harvesting it, all the fruit of that labor, all that wheat you produce belongs to you. You're the one who did the work. I did no work. Why should I be entitled to any of your work? So you give me back whatever I lent you. Same bushel. That's fact. But with gold, the story changes because I don't need to give it to you. I can hoard it. Next year, I still have the same amount of gold. It doesn't go down. It doesn't diminish. So you now have to persuade me and say, I will give you more gold than I borrowed from you, or I'm willing to lend it out. That's when interest comes in. That's when people start justifying interest, saying that it is an opportunity cost. And with interest, we end up very soon with compound interest and very soon with all the horrors we see today, where the debt is growing exponentially because of compound interest, and the economy has to grow at a comparable pace to prevent foreclosure. And what we end up becoming is a machine that takes living nature, life-giving nature, make it into industrial products, which will very quickly become a toxic landfill and resulting in climate change and global warming. And this matters. So you're absolutely right. Usury is something that we should be very careful about. Once we go down that path, it's death and doom.
You know, it seems that money, if it were gold, it has intrinsic value, but the paper money that we deal with doesn't. But also our money isn't static in value. It goes up. It primarily goes down, but wheat, as an example, the value doesn't go down. It, you know, a pound of grain can do a given thing in various ways. Stable.
Yeah.
So
actually, modern money is even worse than gold because after Nixon has, you know, killed the gold standard, our modern money now is based on federal debt.
Right.
Which basically is a federal printing press. You know, they can print off whatever amount they want. When it was gold, at least they can only print as much money as there was gold to back it up.
Right.
Now you don't even have that, and you can print as much as you want back by nothing, and that's what inflation is, when inflation comes in.
Charles, we're getting close to the end here, and I want to get your information out to everybody. And you also wanted to tell us about a conference that you've got coming up. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it's called Living the New Economy Convergence. It's from the 23rd to 26th of October this year in Oakland. The idea of the convergence is that we want to bring in new economy as quickly as we can. But we have traditional economy, which is so strong and powerful, and this has always been stopping our efforts. So what we're doing is we're bringing together thinkers and doers in the Bay Area, people who are activists who have done things and they really want to accelerate this shift. So we bring them together, get them to really build bonds, understand each other's needs, whether you're working in food or in housing or in energy, to not stay in your silo, but really talk to each other, learn from each other's mistakes and triumphs, and then create joint projects that will really shift the needle. And we hope that we'll select about 6 to 8 really impactful projects and then fund them to go through this incubation, so that they can really start operating. And they'll come back next year. This is an annual thing. And next year, we will then look at what we did last year, what worked, what didn't work. And then based on that, we find our approach for the following year, so that we become a local engine to accelerate the shift towards a new economy.
How do people find out about this? Sorry, that's our music. Go ahead and tell them how they can find out about this conference, Charm.
Go to the URL, BayAreaNewEconomy.org.
BayAreaNewEconomy.org.
Our music is going all over the place.
Courtney seems to be in a bit of a mood.
Let's have that one more time.
BayAreaNewEconomy.org.
Great. BayAreaNewEconomy.org. And your site, baybucks.com, that's where you go to sign up.
Yes.
And is there anything else people should know?
That's it. Just sign up and expect a call from one of us.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to talk about next week's show real quick. Not many people enjoy paying their power bill. Efficiency can be a huge tool for reducing that bill. it's possible to save 75% or more by taking steps to use energy better. We'll go into details about how to do this along with sharing resources and the steps to take.
Thank you so much, Chong, for joining us today. We really appreciate it, and we'll have you back.
Thank you. Great pleasure.
Thank you.
Okay, everybody, so that's, you know what our next show is going to be this coming week. And don't forget about our website, neilandlarry.com. That's N-E-A-L and Larry.com. And that's Courtney Lemon's beautiful music. I love it so much. Larry, anything else, or are we there?
I think we're there. Life is good. Oh, I will say with Courtney, she's doing a Kickstarter funding thing. So look up Courtney Lemon with two M's and Kickstarter. See what happens.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Boy, this was really nice having Chong on. We're going to have him on more. We're going to bring these concepts to the Monterey area so that we can spread the good news.
So there.
Yep. Okay, everybody. Looking forward to next week. See you then.
Bye.